Somebody wants to know where he launched from today. I launched out of Rudy yesterday.
We left out of Rudy. Who asked that?
We left out of Rudy yesterday.
It's a friend's backyard, essentially. So oh, cool. Yeah. Can't really.
Yeah. Cool.
A yard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
love those excesses.
Yeah, you got to know. I mean, yeah. If I made friends with certain people, and I promised I wouldn't make it production of people coming over there, and I gave them a small fee, and I get a short pedal. So,
that's
part of the deal.
I mean, I know some people own some ponds that I did the same thing with. Probably go do the same thing now with the kayak, you know?
Yeah.
I had one of those boats I could drag out of the back of my pickup truck and go pond fishing, except it had a motor, you know?
But as far as the Elizabeth River goes, if you did one of the Chesapeake Yachts, is probably going to be, or Top Rack Marina. I think
because all that's fishery. It's fishable from the locks, basically, all the way.
All,
well, know, Top Rack is inside. Because
like right there, yeah. But I think
it's
gotta,
further upstream
a little bit. But I think you gotta be off the water a certain time because they close up lock gates or something. I'm not entirely sure. I've never
is Chesapeake Yachts even open anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're off and on, man. You know how that
they're all
when it gets chaotic in this.
Yeah, when it gets chaotic because people drive the whole ass through there while people are trying to paint and maintain stuff in a boatyard. Like they got to get to the spot. Like it doesn't make sense in the world. Everybody's already there and everybody knows exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
Slow down and drive through the man's property like you got some sense.
Well, what's been really cool? What's been really cool about that area that fishery, more people have explored outside of the typical British area.
Well, right? It started in one little spot,
and now people are finding fish everywhere, all through there. So it's not just.
I also think part of it, maybe, I mean, today we didn't find a lot of stuff. It makes me wonder if they just went further, like as a big school, or they just moved to a different part of the river that, you know, suits the temperature for them or whatever right now, and that's why they weren't generally where we were today earlier. So I don't know.
I'm about to ask these things when we catch them next time.
I'm just saying. I think that fishery is weird. You think you have it dialed in, next thing you know, it's. And like you said, it's not just the bridge discharge area. They can be all up and down the river.
Yeah, when I first started fishing there before it was real popular, you had to use live bait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before that place got super popular, like, and I fished there, before the internet hit that place, I fished there, like, a couple of times with Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to fish with live bait. I mean, I don't know, that's what it was. But now...
More people want to do different styles,
right?
Different ways,
and they're finding the fish that will eat these. You know,
well,
the fish
when
will
I came
eat
into the shop
things.
Was like, what did I say, 11 pounds, 31 inch, 11 pound. Remember,
Cindy.
It was on lord, on artificial. So that just that alone is cool because it's caught on artificial. Absolutely. That big.
Yeah, Joe and Richie got 30 plus inches on lures.
Yeah.
I mean, a year or two ago. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Giant trout.
Yeah.
You gotta get your heart rate up. How sketchy. And it's not that they fight hard and they always want to get off. They're always going to get off.
It's
they're
an art
off.
Form in catching
it. Hey, how'd you...
Locating and finding and catching
it. How'd you land in the predator? Did you ride a predator today?
Yeah, dude. I practiced the thing on a little striper at first. I put one leg across me and like... And I sat on the edge, and you can find the edge on that thing too.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, but I yanked it right up. So
cool. I wanted to catch.
That's really far out of the water to take a special trout.
It is. It's going like this high,
dude.
The
first time I tried it, I went bloop, and the thing just flopped. I was like, okay, this is not going to be as easy as it used to be. I'm going to have to actually kind of work a landing here. I'm not just going to put a leg in and flop it in.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
I wanted to catch a striper on. I wanted to film back
a big one. Okay,
I really wanted that this year, but
I mean, it's a comfortable boat and it paddles, you know, better than I thought it would. The wind still catches it though, and it irritates.
It's
irritating.
That's what's going
to happen. But it, like places like Rudy, and you know, and I dealt with it today, and I wasn't bad. You know, being able to stand up really easily, I could almost jump up and down and I think. Yeah. And in the high seat setting, I mean, the comfort is it's amazing.
No, I love fishing out of it. I don't like paddling into there.
Yeah.
I love being there with it. I love being in the creeks and walking around on it. I can stand sideways. I can stand on the seat. I can walk in circles on the seat.
Yeah.
I can walk all around and look all 360 doing this. I can just walk on the seat within a high chair seat. Yeah. And just walk around and walk around.
Yeah, you got a little bit lower center of gravity, so I'll get
more. Yeah,
I need to get on the seat though. I want.
It's easy. It's not any sketchier up there. Yeah. But the seat gives a little bit. That's the only thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Do it in sandals so you make sure you get your kind of foot connection to it a little bit. Right, you know. Right. Yeah. Or even in the summertime, using barefooted. But yeah, that thing's fun. I do. I love being there.
You don't go barefooted.
Not in that. Not probably in that boat. Yeah, not that.
You stay out with shoes on.
Yeah, I do my Trident 15.
I do my Trident, but because the Exo Ridge, whatever they call the surface on, it wouldn't feel good on my feet anyway, so I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Yep. I think I'll
call him.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
No, I said, are we call him? There's another question.
Yeah.
Shad. Do we fish the shad run in Richmond? I did last year for the first time ever, and I mean he knows what's up. I went up there last year. I caught one American. Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught one American, and that thing. I mean, those things, ultralight tackle. Yeah, man, that was fun.
And
several hickory shad, and we fished for catfish that night. You know, so I mean, yeah. Yeah, and I plan on going back up there, and I'm going to drag him with me this year because it's definitely fun.
I fished for him at an HRB team.
Yeah, I know.
I've hunted schools of them, and they jump every time. I've done it.
It's crazy.
Well, we'll keep a couple, and then we'll go a little bit down river and we chunk and get some catfish too.
I want to go do the thing with you guys. Yeah, definitely. But
yeah,
but. So I've caught them before, and I've caught some big ones. I got a picture on the website, like a 17 incher.
Yeah. They're fun though. They fight hard.
Pointed tail, not forked tail.
But still, as far as technique for them,
small things,
small shiny things. Essentially, they make shad darts. Go to your tackle shop. Shad darts or shad spoons. For spoons, I will because they're so light. Spoon probably about this much liter.
Yeah, I fished with like 16, 18 inches of liter on like an eighth ounce or maybe a little heavier.
You're talking about the egg sinker above it?
Yeah, it was like a quarter ounce egg sinker or something. I mean, it was enough to cast, but not... Yeah.
Spoon, 18, 20 inches a liter, preferably fluorocarbon because they have massive eyes, and I have a... I don't know what it is. I think it helps for whatever reason. Fluorocarbon, it's supposed to be invisible. I know there's a bunch of theories. I don't really know.
I use it when I'm hunting reds.
I don't know. It couldn't hurt.
I use it.
It doesn't hurt. No.
We've done a thing with Tog where we catching the same rate of speed, and he's using mono. I'm using fluorocarbon.
I think Tog don't care.
Yeah.
I think when they want to eat, the mono just looks like weeds or whatever. They don't seem to, that's like, that's food I'm eating. I don't care what's attached to it.
There's so much stuff.
It's hard to tell. There's so much stuff down there.
That's a line,
To the leader, to a tiny swivel, and then a small egg sinker, probably. Depending on the current, if you're going to try to fish a really fast current, you know, you're going to need heavier
What poundage?
I like... Light because shad don't get big. Probably 10, 10, 15, something like that. You can go lower than that. I've caught it on, you know, 4 pound test too, and 2 pound test running line. But
what about spec rigs?
Yeah, that would work. I mean, you want a light to ultra light because you're gonna have more fun with it.
Yeah, the jig itself is.
Oh, you're talking about the spec rig, the jig? No, that's too big.
Shad darts are an inch long,
and the spoons are that long.
That's why you have that split shot on there.
Yeah, so you got to get it down, exactly. Yeah. And the thing with shad, during when the run is really going on, it's just a matter of finding the right depth. Because I found them where you cast, and as soon as you start reeling, bam. So you barely let it get down. There's other times where you cast cross current, and you really got to let it get down to the right depth before you start reeling. One of my favorite ways to do it is on the fly. If you're interested in fly fishing at all, it's a great time to try fly fishing because the action, when it's hot, so you can really get to, you know, feel the fight from a fly rod.
Yeah.
So that's where I learned how to do the fly rod thing, and it's fun.
Doing targeting those.
Targeting shad, yeah.
Well, because it is such a small lure, it's going to be hard to bait cast those.
It is, exactly. and there's times where the fly fishermen are way out fishing the conventional guys, and then there's also vice versa. But generally, I mean...
You almost have to bait... You with the bait caster almost have to do a fly.
Yeah, because it's so light. Yeah, and you're using, you know, shad flies are itty-bitty too, and there's no rhyme or reason to what color works best when it's just... You pick one, and if it's not working, either change the depth or change the color.
Yeah.
So you need sinking line, preferably. If you don't have sinking line, you're going to have to find an attachment for your floating line to get it down to the right
depth. Now, braid floats, so you would want...
That's another reason why fluorocarbon out here is good, just because it helps get down to the right depth. No, wait a minute. Am I mistaken? Shoot.
With the fluorocarbon... That sinks, right?
It's
No, braid always has a floating.
It comes up, yeah.
I see. I don't mess with line class stuff. I usually, you know, I don't. It's because of all that. But now, I'm editing the striper segment. I'm finishing up the striper segment now. I've done the narrations and all that stuff, and I've got your line class attempt on a striper on there from two years ago.
Something like that, yeah.
Right, and you caught one. And so, doing a line class record, this is the second attempt at it, right? That year was your second attempt at it. You had some on before.
No, not striper.
Didn't you hook one and break one off? On the line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was that first year I was out there. Actually.
It was near the pound net.
No, I started there in the morning with you.
Right.
On
regular tackle.
Yeah, regular tackle. That was my first one. And then you caught one while taking a picture of mine almost. Mm-hmm. It was like almost... simultaneously, and then you want to take a break real quick, and I said I'm just going to go on. Yeah, it was
freezing cold. I three that morning. I was freezing.
So cold. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that distinctly because I was working the camera for you on one of them.
And yeah, I was
this is cold. But the sun came up, and I went out on the drift, and I that's when I pulled out the 8-pound test.
You okay? No, you're going for 8-pound line class record.
Yeah, if you look for on IGFA, I think you have to be a member to actually look up the actual records. But if you start looking through them, you see little, I don't want to call it anomalies, but where there's a chance where
little,
you
know, holes here. And
yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even remember what it is right now. It's like, I think it's a mid 40s pound. I should know this because I studied it for a while.
But it's a citation size fish. You're gonna have to
catch. Yeah, it's gotta be a big
8-pound test.
8-pound test. It's 8-pound running line. So the majority of what's on your reel, and then in salt water you're allowed. And these are more rules I should remember.
Well,
but
you don't have to do them offhand, but you need a certain amount of leader. You can have
a certain amount of leader.
Exactly.
So, and a double line.
And I believe it's enough to you can wind on. Right? Isn't it enough to wind on?
I think with salt water, yeah.
It's like 30 foot in salt water.
It's like 25, something like that. Yeah. In fresh, it's like 10 or 6.
Because I know when you grab the fish, you had it on leader, it was just regular leader. You weren't on 4-pound test when you were.
No.
You had it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you have the final piece, you know, the terminal tackle is...
You can use whatever leader you want. It's just you're not allowed to have it be a certain length.
Yeah.
That's all.
But the main line is 8-pound test. Yeah. And it's probably a 40-pounder-ish, right? It's something in that range.
It's a
because
mid-40
what you caught was a 44-incher, but it was a...
I think it was like mid-30s.
Yeah, because you hand-scaled it.
It was like mid-30s, something like that. There's a whole bunch of rules with the IGFA thing. Like, you can't, like, nobody else can touch the line, the running line at all.
Right.
It can't even touch the gunnel. Like, your rod is not allowed to touch the gunnel. If you're trolling, like, as soon as you pick it up, you cannot put it down. You cannot put it back in a rod holder. There's a whole bunch of rules.
Yeah.
So crazy for kayak fishing, too.
Which, it's just incredibly hard to do.
I mean, in open water, like you tried it, you alleviate yourself somewhat, but I mean, anywhere near a bridge or anything.
Well, that's the
like,
thing.
You can't set a rock. Like,
that's the thing is that when I'm doing the narration on the video, I'm like, okay, I usually use heavy tackle around the structure, but if you're going to do light tackle, do it out here. Here's Rob doing 8 pounds.
Yeah. So. Yeah, go out in the middle of nowhere and do it.
Because
there's no structure.
And there wasn't. The only worry was if he pulled you into a boat, but the fight wasn't that long. Yeah, it was a 44-inch fish, and it took under basically 6 minutes.
It didn't even like, and I was watching the whole time.
Yeah.
It's super mad. You never see that in the video.
It came up and took off.
In the beginning, I really wanted to let him take it for a good while though, because you can't set the hook on these things.
No.
You kind of have to let him, you know, get it into himself as slowly applying pressure.
Did you use a circle hook?
It wasn't a circle hook.
Okay, J hook. Okay. Yeah.
I was. If it was a fish that's worth the size, I was gonna kill it. I'm being
right. I didn't know because of the way you were putting the hook in it, like
But you can't. What he's saying, you can't set a hook on an 8 pound test because the hook.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I'm gonna want
like
to ease into it and hope that.
It just finds itself.
Let it swallow it.
Basically. Yeah, right.
Where was the hook on that one?
It's funny because after I pulled it up and I looked in there and it did one of those piercings where it just hit a piece of flesh.
Oh.
And it came right back out. So all I did was just yank on it and it popped right out, dude. And it was way back there too. And
but
he wasn't bleeding or anything. He was fine.
It was
but
hanging in the
skin. Yeah. So honestly, if it was one of those like. I did set the hook on it. It could have popped for all I know.
If it was a regular, if you would have had a regular tackle, you probably would have yanked that one off.
Maybe.
But you let him go for a long time, though.
You
let him go for a long time.
You watched the video. I kept that, eat it, please.
It's long seconds of you pick it up, and it's like, eat it, and you don't do anything yet.
Yeah.
You eat it, and then you put it in gear, and it's still going because you got light.
It's light,
You put it in gear, but it's still going and going and going and going and going. It's a long time. I don't even think I showed the whole thing.
Cut
it up a little bit. But yeah, 6 minutes was the whole thing. Six something.
Once I got him to the surface, I thought he was going to be bigger just because of the way he was running.
Well, you actually had him up in like three. He surfaced and then took back down, took back off again. Had you pulling.
Stupid strike.
Yeah.
With 8 pound test, had you pulling. That's what's cool about kayaks. No matter how, whatever, even if you catch a croaker, he can pull you. You're going to get a pull.
Even in the 4 pound test, man, I had fish yank me on 4 pound test. Not yank, but you know, actually move my boat.
Yeah, it actually moves. Yeah. We're gonna wrap it up here. So, when your thoughts going into that, when you're going for line class stuff, your thoughts going into it. Now, before you did that, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, okay, I'm gonna be out here for 20 minutes dealing with this thing? Am I gonna is there any anxieties going into it rather than just the chance of it breaking off? I mean, you're really going for a specific thing. You're going for a specific.
I think it's the amount of time that goes into it. Because once you hook it, especially out in open water, it's just like, how long can I play this thing? And like, if it's not big enough, am I going to end up killing it anyway? Because I mean, there's a lot of stress. That's a lot of stress on a fish. And I acknowledge that going into this
before
game.
Going into it.
Well, kayak for a reason. Meat.
Now after you landed that one, that wasn't big enough, but you went through, you did the whole thing with the pound, you fought one, landed it. How do you feel afterwards? Now, you're going to do it again, you're going for it again, you feel like you more definitely gave more confidence because you saw how long it took
I think even this past year, if there was a better set of reports coming out of that area, I think I would have tried more.
Yeah.
This
you would have that rod out there.
I think if I'm ever going on the drift, I'm gonna bring it.
That's what I'm saying. Have that as an option.
Yeah.
Because it's a drift, man. We're out there for hours. We're open water.
There's nobody around us until we start getting bikes and then the boats move in.
We paddle around
until we see somebody get a bite or hook up.
That's the fish finder.
And then we start fishing.
That guy's net's moving. What's going on over there?
Yeah. Have we ever used drift socks or to slow us down for drifting or on a big fish? No.
Usually paddle.
I can put my feet in the water to...
And also, well, yeah, for, talking about with a fish, talking about
or,
fish.
Or yeah, drifting. Feet.
Drifting with paddle.
Yeah, paddle. I use one-arm paddle.
Force paddles,
yeah,
just... force drift. A lot of times I don't like spinning. I like stepping on one side, so I'll actually hold my position. Even if the winds push me, yeah, I'll continuously... Yes.
And sometimes the striper are in a certain area, just, and you go by the boats and they're catching in that certain area, we'll drift through there and paddle right back. Yeah. I mean, it's not...
And go right back.
The fish don't seem... As long as your eels aren't skipping across the top, and... We don't go out there when it's windy enough to have your eels skipping across the top.
There's been times where I think a drift sock would have been all right, but it would be too much. I think we talked about it before.
If you hooked a fish, I mean, what would happen? Because a fish spins around in circles, and if you have more than like 2 feet of something hanging off the back of your boat, you're going
to
get tangled.
And now, during a fish, I want to get pulled.
I don't want. I don't want anything to slow me down.
I don't like. I don't like fighting fish.
Plus, a weird. This is a weird pull. You know what I mean?
That time when I had the other fish on,
we talked about
it. It was weird as fuck.
Yeah,
I didn't like that at all.
Two fish is
had two fish on.
Yeah,
one pulling me this way. I'm trying to get this one. It wasn't going anywhere.
You're like, I feel like I'm stuck. You were yelling. I feel like I'm stuck.
I had to back off drags. I was like, can you come get this? And then you hook up, and I'm like, I got to deal with this thing. I didn't like the fight. So a drift.
You mentioned this general concept though about like a certain kind of fish that can really like bluefin tuna.
Right, that's
like
what we're talking about.
Yeah,
man. Mike stayed. Matt stood right on top of that thing with no drift sock or anything.
Yeah. Right, but then we also talked about if you try that in the ocean front, it's not going to be a vertical thing. It's going to be.
Oh yeah,
so
man,
it's the scenario. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The scenario if it presents itself. I mean, you might need it for certain things, but a lot of what we do,
The
only time I used it was catfishing.
I can see yourself getting tangled up real hard, exactly. Especially with a bluefin tuna. I mean, if it hangs more than 2 or 3 feet off the back of that boat, dude, that thing, you see, I mean, there's pictures of Matt being pulled, like, holding the rod like this. And he's being pulled back, like, he's holding the rod in front of him so he gets pulled straight back. He's holding the rod out straight in front of him so that he can go straight backwards, because that's which way the circle was going at that time. Yep. I mean, I don't know, dude. If you had anything in the water, it would be tangled up, or
it's just twisted. They're in a fight.
I don't
want to.
I don't. Yeah, I don't
want to
be like slow.
Yeah, I want to.
I would rather.
And putting your feet in the water actually gives you a lot of breaks.
Yeah,
a lot of breaks.
Oh, you can slow down.
You can feel resistance on the.
And you can. And actually, I go over. I'm going over foot techniques in the movie. I mean, because I use them so much. Right. I use them so much. I want to preach about them so much because they're so good.
There's
such good techniques.
The 2 minute fight. I have my foot in the water a long time. A lot.
But you can put your feet in the water. You can put them straight. And you have certain resistance. You can open them up, and you can just put the brakes on. You can put your feet out to the side.
I'll pull my feet down.
Yeah.
The two-minute fish, I have
one of my legs,
the leg the side the fish is on, is in the water almost the whole fight for the 2 minutes that it took me to catch that one big red.
Yeah, well, you were also had them in shallow water.
But I mean, I put my
right feet in drag.
Everything
well,
I can
do. I have a real good picture of you stopping a ray with both feet in the water, and there's water like coming up. Just because you're pulling it so fast and you're just trying to stop it. You're just trying to stop your.
Stop it so I can break my line.
Yeah, it's just trying to get them trying to break them off.
Stop them.
All right. Anything else? We're about to wrap this up.
5 minutes.
Yeah, we're about to wrap it up.
Drift sock thing, real quick. Yeah. The only time I have used it is when I was anchored up catfishing and the wind was just, it constantly, like, my lines are over here. This is where I want my lines. Yeah, on anchor. Yeah. So I'm not even using it as a drift sock. I just want something. Because there's in the river, there's constant current.
Yeah.
So if the wind's constantly pushing me this way and I want to face this way, I put the... But the thing is, like you were saying, it complicates things. There's extra lines. There's extra things you need to move. And if you hook up a big fish and it's playing in front of you, and you got
to
yank up. It's, yeah, there's
potential to wrap
for a lot of bad things.
The potential to wrap when stuff is in that direction. I had a little red jump on my anchor rope one time. I was just anchored in the middle of the creek and he got on it and unhooked himself and did it like he did it on purpose. He saw it and went, got his face around it and said,
Don't cut me a fish with a they say that those things like are attractive.
Well, because
anything.
They
oh my
just
god.
Circle and
yeah,
move
dude. That
and
thing if that thing saw a drift sock, he was pulling a drift sock beside your kayak, he'd want to hang out near you even more. And he's just gonna spin circles around your whole rig there. I mean, you're gonna have an entire braid with a broken line at the end of it when you're done.
Cool. Anything else on there?
No.
Wrap it up.
No.
Walking Dead's coming on Sunday. Walking Dead's coming on, everybody's.
Yeah.
Walking Dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. So Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, which is 2 days from now, Mark Lozier from First Landing Kayak Fishing Service is going to be on, and that's Tuesday, February 25th.
He'll be straight back from Florida.
Yeah, he's coming back from the tournament thing in Florida, and it's going to be... It's
the tournament thing in Florida, like there's not $4 billion this weekend.
Adventure
kayak?
It's really interesting. We talked about it last week where you have to...
I know, it's cool.
Yeah. Place to place.
You have points to get to, you have a thing you have to...
So check-in points, you have to catch certain things out in between.
And get a certain time, so it's pretty interesting. It's a really awesome idea for a tournament, and I'm looking forward to it. He did it last year too. I'm looking forward to him again.
What was it? Living like Lozier, is that what they say?
Living like Lozier, yeah. Living like Lozier. Cool. All right, guys. All right. So thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you in 2 days with Mark Lozier.